Yeah, so this morning, I think it's obvious, but we're going to have communion together. And you know, sometimes communion will be part of a service, so we'll have like a service, and then at the end we'll do communion together, which is beautiful. But this morning, I really want us to look and focus on communion, or the Lord's Supper. Because communion is one of two visible reminders for us of the gospel. The other one is baptism. When someone gets baptized, it's like it's an external, outwardly tangible sign of the gospel and of what Jesus has done. And then communion is the other one. So we're going to focus on communion this morning. And then obviously later we all use it together as a family. So this morning I want to look at three components of communion. And again, just communion, the point of communion is to always point us to Jesus, right? As we look at Jesus, as we remember what he has done, hopefully our response will be one of rejoicing and to celebrate Jesus and what he has done for us and continues to do for us. It's an ongoing process. So the three components of communion, let's start Luke 22:19. Jesus sitting with his disciples before his crucifixion, having the Last Supper with them. And then we read, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So the first component is his body, the body of Jesus. And as we use communion, as we eat the cracker or the bread, whatever it is, we remember that his body was broken for us on the cross. And that's something to think about. I think we often say that, but it's something to think about. In Isaiah 52, we read the following prophecy. "Many were amazed when they saw him," Jesus, "beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person." Just think about that. Just leave that on the board, please, Lauren. That's quite something, eh? Like, we often think about the cross, and his body was broken for us. But actually, he was so disfigured that he didn't look like a human. That's hectic. Has anyone ever seen someone that was so beaten, whipped, to the point of death, that they didn't look like a human? That's quite something to think about. And the result of Jesus being whipped, being tortured, being crucified, meant he was so disfigured he didn't look normal. And then when we think about that, we remember that he went through that for our sake. How beautiful is that? For our sake. That Jesus, our Savior, endured this painful death because of his love for us. And that's beautiful, right? That should cause us to celebrate and to rejoice that Jesus went through that because of his love for us. In Romans 5 verse 8, we read this. "But God showed his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." How beautiful is that? That the way that Jesus or God showed us his love is Jesus dying for us while we were broken, lost, in darkness, sinners. God's motivation to pour his wrath on Jesus on the cross was his love for us. That Jesus died for people who were and who are sinners, who willfully are in rebellion against him. You know, to be a sinner means you are in rebellion against God. It's not just that you don't acknowledge him, but you're pointing your fist towards heaven, and you are in rebellion. Not for good people, because no one is good outside of Jesus, but for sinners. And the picture of the bread or the cracker this morning is there for us to help us to remember this. That we remember that we were sinners, that Jesus died for us, that when we were in rebellion against God, we deserve his wrath, but instead he showed his love for us by Jesus dying on the cross for us. And this morning as we're going to take communion, let's remember that his body was broken for us. He was whipped, beaten, tortured. He didn't look like a normal person. for each one of us. Not just for some of us, but for every single person. And that's incredible, right? That should make us rejoice. So we remember that Jesus went through all that for our sake, and we rejoice in the love of God for us, that we who are sinners are now saints, children of God. And then the second component of communion is the wine or the grape juice, and that is the blood of Jesus. In Luke 22:20, the next verse, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So as we have our grape juice this morning, as we take the grape juice, we remember his blood being poured out for us for the forgiveness of sins. And we sang about this morning, that Jesus, who knew no sin, which is not, when we say knew no sin, it's not like, I didn't get angry today. You know, like yesterday I got angry at my kids, today I didn't get angry. He was sinless, which means he didn't have an evil nature. There was no inclination in him at all towards sin, which is beautiful, right? It's not like he didn't sin for a day. He was sinless. He knew no sin. He didn't know what it felt like to sin. Just think about that. And he who knew no sin died for us who were sinners. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, we read, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Beautiful. Righteousness of God, right standing with God. We have right standing with God, which is a legal term, but it's more than that. It's right standing with God means we can know him. We can not just know of him, but we can know him, and we can experience him, and we can hear him speak to us, and we can walk with him. You know, like Maya was saying this morning, God's her father. And that's what Jesus did for us. That's what right standing with God means. He took our sin upon himself, and Jesus, he shed his blood on the cross so that we can be reconciled to God, which is a beautiful picture, reconciled to God. Just think about the prodigal son running into his father's arms, or his father running to him, embracing him, being reconciled. His blood is the only sacrifice that can save us from eternal separation from God. And in 1 Peter we read that we weren't redeemed by silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb without blemish. In 1 Peter 1:17 we read the following, "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed." Way more precious than that. "From the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ. A lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in his last times for your sake." I love that. Thank you, God, for revealing Jesus to us, eh? "Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." How beautiful is that? We were redeemed. We were set free. We were made right. We were given peace. All those testimonies that we heard this morning through the precious blood of Christ. And he was perfect. And then God raised him from the dead and he glorified him. So we place our faith in him, the one who was perfect, who died for our sin, who knew no sin, but became sin for us, so that we may have righteousness with God, right standing with him. So as we drink of the grape juice, we remember that we were bought with the precious blood of Christ. We remember that his blood was poured out for us, that we are made righteous in Jesus, and that he washes us from our sin, which is beautiful. So through communion, we remember that Jesus made a way for us through his body and his blood. And I want to say this, communion is a weighty thing. Like, we should not take communion for granted. We should not just, it's not an afterthought. We should not take it lightly. But in the same sense, Communion is a time to celebrate and to rejoice as well. Because we remember Jesus. We're looking at Jesus. This points us to Him, the one that did everything for us. And we remember what He has done. But also, communion is a reminder that we need Jesus every day. We remember what He has done. We remember that His body was broken for us, beautiful, that His precious blood brought us. But also, we all fall short. We all fall short every single day. We are all broken in some ways, some people more than others. We're all broken. We all have insecurities and cracks. And we remember that through communion that we need Jesus today. You know, the good news of Jesus is good news today, just as much as it was when you got saved the first day, right? We still need Jesus today. We still need Him to work in and through us. We still need Him to reveal Himself to us, just as much today like when you got saved however many years ago or months ago. We have been redeemed by His blood and by His body and His blood. So this morning, I want to encourage everyone here. We don't have any first-time visitors, but I want to encourage everyone here to really remember this, that we carry a message that we have to share with other people. You know, we've been, this whole year, we've really been encouraging one another to share the gospel and to use opportunities to reach out and to step out the boat and to share Jesus with others. And I want to just encourage us to continue doing that. Like, we carry the light of the world, right? We have the answer that people want. And it's not a warning at all, but I just, for myself, I just felt like God is leading us to reach out to people and to share the good news, and we must do it. Because otherwise, our hearts will grow hard and we will forget the lost. And actually, we're not called to forget the lost. We're called to step out the boat and share Jesus with others. And hopefully, His Spirit this morning, as we take the crackers and the grape juice, Jesus will just again reveal to us the wonder of His gospel so that we can't but share it with others. You know, and I also just want to say, if there's anyone here, if you have walked away from Him, just remember His blood and His body, remember His grace, come back to Him this morning. He is our salvation. We can be reconciled to God. That's beautiful. We can be reconciled to God. And I also want to say this. Communion is quite exclusive in some ways, because if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't belong to Him, you can't have communion. Communion is for Christians, for people that acknowledge His body that was broken for us, that's been washed by His blood. So if there's anyone here, if you're not right with God this morning, I want to encourage you, before you do communion this morning, come speak to me or Dimitri or Karen or anyone here, Brian, anyone, and make right with God before you have communion, because communion is exclusively for believers. Like, I think that's important. Just as baptism, we don't just baptize anyone, right? You don't swim with your friends in the sea and then they go down and you go, I baptize you, and then, you know, we don't do that. Likewise with communion. Communion is for people that believe in Jesus, that's been washed clean by His blood. And that's important. So if there's anyone here, if you don't believe in Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you to make right before you have communion. To receive His gift. It's a gift of salvation. And then the third component of communion is actually for us to guard the unity of the church. We read in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28 to 29. And this is in context of communion. Paul is speaking to this church about communion. And he says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, communion. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord, interesting phrase, eats and drinks judgment on himself. And we read in this, if you go read 1 Corinthians 11, some people died because they had communion in an unworthy manner, which is hectic. That's hectic. Just imagine someone dying. It's hectic. If you can just leave it up, thanks. So it says they're discerning the body of Christ, which is an interesting phrase. Who's the body of Christ? We. Each one of us. We're the body, right? The Bible calls us many members belonging to one body. And in verse 28, it says that we should examine ourselves before we take communion, then we should discern the body of Christ. And the context of this scripture is relationships. In verse, we're not going to read it, but if you go read verse 17 and 18, Paul writes in the context of believers meeting together. So, right? Meeting together as a church. And then he says, you know, at the communion table, some of you drink way too much and you get drunk and you eat all the bread because you're hungry. And then he says, shouldn't you eat at home? And then others of you don't get anything. So it's in the context of relationships that Paul writes, we should discern the body of Christ. And who's the body of Christ? We're the body of Christ, right? So if you can just put verse 28, thank you. So it says there, we should examine ourselves and discern the body of Christ before we take communion. So the question is, how do we do that? And I want to say this. In the context of the scripture, it speaks about relationships. So if there's any broken relationships among us, if there's any offense or bitterness in the body of Christ, in us, we have to discern the body of Christ. If we have slandered or gossiped about anyone, you know, sometimes Christians will go, yo, I'm telling you this so that you can pray. And actually you're just gossiping or slandering someone. Any offense, I've said that, any bitterness, if there's any shadow in our hearts towards one of our brothers or sisters in the body, we must repent of that before we have communion. That's what that scripture means. Examine yourselves, examine your own heart, and then it says discerning the body of Christ, each other. We are the body of Christ. So I want to encourage you this morning, before you have communion, let's examine our hearts. If we need to forgive anyone, we must forgive them. If the Holy Spirit convicts you of anything you did towards someone else in their absence by the way that you thought about someone or by the way that you spoke about someone, repent. If you need to go, if that person is here, like, you know, the Bible speaks about if someone comes to the altar with a sacrifice and they remember they've wronged their brother, they must leave the altar in the temple, go make right, and then come back. Same principle. If before we have communion, let's really examine our hearts. If there's any shadow in our hearts towards someone, if they're here, go ask forgiveness, go make right with them before you have communion. If they're not here, I want to encourage you, repent before the Lord, have communion, but then go make right this week. Don't leave it. And this is quite important because I feel just in light of Mervis, right? We obviously processed Mervis on Wednesday, that we should not carry stuff in our heart that's in the secret, that's in darkness, that we should live in the light as he is in the light so that we can have true fellowship with one another. And I want to encourage us to do that. Like, God is highlighting purity. And obviously, Mervis, you know, his stuff was sexual sin and stuff like that. But that it doesn't have to be. It can be anything in our hearts, any shadow in our hearts towards others that we haven't brought into the light. I really want to encourage us to do that. We're family. We belong to one another. We're members of many, many members of one body. So that is the third point, that we are God, like I just want to read this because I'm scared I mess it up. It says, communion is a mechanism given to us by God to help us facilitate and guard our relationships with one another. How beautiful is that? Just want to read it again. Communion is a mechanism given to us by God to help us facilitate and guard our relationships with one another. When we have communion, we guard the unity among us. And where there's unity, what does God do? He commands a blessing. So we really want to encourage us, if we need to forgive anyone, if we need to repent, if we need to bring anything into the light this morning, that we do that before we have communion. And again, if the person's not here, make right with God. If you have any hidden sin, I want to encourage you, speak to someone this morning. Go to someone and say, I need to bring this into the light. Pray with me. So, this morning, before we do communion, I want to again just remind everyone here, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never bowed your knee, if you've never received his gift of grace, do that before we have communion. We read beautiful scriptures. We sang beautiful truths of the gospel of Jesus. If anyone's here and you've walked away from God, you can come back, just like the prodigal son. You can come back to him this morning. And then the unity of the church. If there's anyone here, if you need to repent of anything, do it before we have communion.